5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at me.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hey!
Hello, America and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. You know, it was a big day for Donald Trump yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. It was a big day for the United States of America. As we were on center stage, the whole world watching, as cheap, tawdry, gross litigation began, and not even the litigation, just the jury selection of it all, just the grossness of where we are right now, where the Democrats and the Uniparty have put us. Holy cow, I've got a story about Donald Trump on the flip side of our Pledge of Allegiance. If you are new to the program, it's what we do. It's because it matters. It's where we are and how we feel about this great country. If you're a common sense conservative, welcome. If you are not, welcome indeed. Hang out with us a little bit. Come on back tomorrow as well and bring a friend. Welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Yesterday, as all of this craziness is going on in this courtroom, they're trying to seat a panel of Donald Trump's peers. I mean, I really don't know how you sit a panel of a billionaire real estate tycoon, television celebrity turned 45th president of the United States. I mean, who are your peers? I don't know who Donald Trump's peers are, but I'm going to say that in a community, in a zip code that's 87% Democrat voting and a jury panel, seven so far of the 12 plus two, I think it is, that have already been seated halfway there. 90% liberal, if you listen to where they get their news. Donald Trump has so much going on in his life. And you know what he did yesterday? He went to that bodega in Harlem where that guy defended himself and the property from a lunatic who had come in because his girlfriend wanted to steal a bag of chips. Didn't have any money, thought she was entitled, came in. Bodega guy was like, look, no, you got to pay for that. Boyfriend unhinged comes in, almost kills him. And the bodega guy grabs a knife, stabs him, kills the guy, and is in Rikers Island. Donald Trump, with all of this garbage going on in his life, with the media rooting against him, with the uniparty establishment so jealous of the magnetism, the simple magnetism of this guy, right? Will stop at nothing for him. And Donald Trump goes to that bodega, goes to Harlem, to meet people. You don't think that's resonating across the airwaves, friends? You don't think that's rippling across this country loud and clear? Almost as loud and clear as this woman I need you guys to hear. Her name is Christine Cornell. She was the courtroom sketch artist. CNN had her on the show yesterday, right? After the jurors, seven of them have been impaneled. We're going to talk about who these people are, what we know about them, what they were asked, etc. Erin Burnett on CNN is asking the courtroom sketch artist, You know, I want to look at these sketches that you've drawn and get your personal ideas about watching the jurors, listening to their communication with Trump's team and with the other attorneys. What you saw, what you felt. Tell us about this sketch right here with Trump's eyes. Remember how that story came out yesterday? Donald Trump obviously was so bored by it. He's so bored. He's so big and doesn't care. And so he just kind of fell asleep. That's what Rachel Maddow tried to tell us yesterday. Well, let's ask this courtroom sketch artist. You were there. What did you see? Audio soundbite one.
I want to show one of your sketches today. We're going through some of them, but this one, it appears in this one that his eyes are closed. What was happening here?
My apologies, ma'am. I was sitting 50 feet away. I was having such a struggle to try and get those eyeballs in a decent way. It was just not the best advantage.
Vantage point to see.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, later in the day, he was more cooperative and he turned a couple of times.
And knowing that there was someone there, in a sense, right? That he could turn to your vantage point and see you.
No, he wasn't doing anything for me. He was just talking to his attorney. He was sitting right there on his right.
Aaron Burnett, this might be a game show to you. This might be funny to you. This might be something that you want to create as a freaking narrative, but you're fiddling with a man's life. You're fiddling with the United States of America, our sovereignty, and you're trying to paint the picture that Donald Trump's eyes were closed? The courtroom sketch artist says, no, I didn't have a good view. I was sitting behind him 50 feet. Well, he was obviously aware that you were there. No, Aaron. He was busy watching his life possibly slip through his fingers and watch you allow it to happen and spread it. That is bliss. Rachel Maddow, where are you now? Should we cue up your soundbite where you were talking about, hey, if you get the vaccine, it stops with you. It stops with you. It doesn't go anywhere else. It stops with you. You're good. You. How many times do you have to be wrong? MSNBC, CNN, it doesn't matter. Audio soundbite number two. This courtroom sketch artist is like, look, I've done this. This is my job. I've done it for forever. This is unlike any kind of courtroom jury selection I have ever experienced. Listen.
What was unique about this jury was that the first day they called, I think, 96 people. Mm-hmm. And I think 50 people raised their hand when the judge said, raise your hand if you can't be fair. And then today there was a whole little train of them like trailing and saying, oh, judge, I slept on it. I can't be fair.
Oh, that's what you saw today.
Yeah, even more were dropping like flies. So this is a unique situation. Usually people have all these other excuses. My vacation, my child, my job, this, that.
Half of the people said they couldn't be impartial. You can't be impartial. You can't be fair. How is Donald Trump supposed to get a fair trial? Please tell me this. Please tell me this. He can't. And it's obvious. And that's the point. And she continues, what happens when they found out the few that were selected? What happened? What did you see on their faces when they got selected, ma'am? Listen.
But when you saw their faces when they realized they had been chosen?
Well, they had to walk right past me, which was really quite fascinating. So I got the whole, you know, down the runway look. And, you know, that was the first guy, number one, and he was almost militaristic.
This is the four person, the man from Ireland.
He had a real military kind of presence about him. There was an Asian man, and I remember he was quite intense. Everybody felt like they looked as if they'd been hit by a ton of bricks when they heard the news that they were actually chosen. One woman went scurrying by, and she was smiling.
So she seemed happy.
She was happy.
I don't even know what to say. But how about this one? So apparently the judge scolded Donald Trump, right? They have a guy who says that he's really impartial. I don't really have feelings one way or another about Donald Trump, which I'm sorry. I don't think if you polled 100 people, I don't think you would find one who didn't have a strong opinion one way or another. Either I love the guy or I think he's the devil incarnate. And this one guy Trump's team has the opportunity to ask some questions of. And they've dug into his social media. And on his social media is a video from 2020 of Trump basically losing and Joe Biden winning. And the guy who's impartial celebrating the victory for Joe Biden. Now, how is that even possible? Listen to Aaron Burnett try to put words in the mouth of this courtroom sketch artist, Christine Cornell. Listen.
I loved it when the judge, you know, reprimanded him for muttering, because that was the woman who had videotaped celebrations when he hadn't won the election.
Right, Biden celebrations in New York City. Right?
Yeah, right. And he was beside himself with that piece of information, and the judge scolded him, which I thought was great.
Oh, and it was clear he was angry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and he tilted his head back, and I mean, he had to agree. He tilted his head back and shut his eyes when the judge said that.
So it was a woman, I beg your pardon, who was saying, I could be impartial. Well, what about this video of you celebrating when Donald Trump lost in 2020? Right? And so Donald Trump leans over to his attorney and says something like, what the hell? This is my peer? This is what we're doing? This is where we are? And the judge in the case, mind you, who is a Joe Biden donor, whose family has been paid by the Democratic Party and does work with Adam Schiff and Kamala Harris and Eric Swalwell. This is the judge approving a jury of Donald Trump's peers. And Donald Trump takes the time to go to the bodega where a man defending his life and his property, his place of business, defends himself, and instead is the guy who gets thrown in jail. And Donald Trump sees this. And Harlem sees Donald Trump see this. These people have poked the wrong bear, and it's not Trump. It's called America. Quick timeout. On the flip side of this, we're going to debunk something that swing voters want the United States to spend more money in Ukraine. Oh, wait, I got a poll for you. This one is very interesting. Don't miss it next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. What Alvin Bragg and this Judge Juan Merchan are doing is they are putting in play for Donald Trump a lot of previously unattainable blue zip codes. You want to tether Trump to Manhattan during the entirety of this trial? You want to keep him from traveling west, going to the south, campaigning in any capacity? You must be here every single day. Donald Trump showed you on day two what he can do with that. He can campaign in areas that the Democrats have abused and lied to and have flushed down the toilet and have now replaced with what? 100,000 migrants at a minimum in New York City and is crippling the tax base there. Donald Trump will be able now to campaign all over New York. He can go into Pennsylvania, right? Philadelphia. He can go to Baltimore. He can go to New Jersey. He can go to Connecticut. He can go anywhere around Manhattan, like he did Harlem, and connect with people who have been forgotten. People whose zip codes suck. Where there are hypodermic needles all over the place, and fecal matter, and more people living on the streets, it seems, than there are in homes. He can reach people who have been absolutely ravaged by fentanyl and the opioid epidemic that this administration cares not about. He can go and reach out to anybody in these places who, when asked, is life better for you now? than it was 4 years ago. If they're being honest, we'll say no. TheDailySignal.com, border security, Trump's Ukraine funding for swing state voters. No kidding. It's amazing that this is a poll. It's amazing that there are some people out there who think the majority of us would rather give our money away and send it to Vladimir Zelensky to do God knows what with, because I don't know about you, I've never seen us finance a war and us never see any news coverage of it. There are never any updates. Where is the battle? What is the standing of Ukraine? How much more money are we going to allow to go over there without any proof that it's not going right into the hands and the pockets of the people who seem to be very much in bed with the industrial war machine? No, duh. Border security in swing states is a bigger deal than getting Vladimir Zelensky's mom another $5 million oceanfront home. Because that's happened. And it's so curious, isn't it? An overwhelming 75% of swing voters say they oppose allocating more U.S. funds for Ukraine before the border crisis is addressed. This is a new survey, Rasmussen, six battleground states, a little more than 1,000 people, and this was conducted for the Heritage Foundation. It's very interesting, of course, that Alejandro Mayorkas suddenly now has changed his tune, and he does agree that what's going on at the border is, you know, it's a crisis. No, duh! Alex, Mike Johnson is preparing to unveil some kind of a package for Ukraine. It faces an uncertain future. Now we hear that the Democrats are coming to Mike Johnson's aid and any kind of efforts to overthrow him as speaker and vacate the chair. Marjorie Taylor Greene has said that she wants to do this now today. Thomas Massie, the congressman from Kentucky, sounds like he's also on board with vacating the chair. Democrats now coming to the rescue because Mike Johnson says, we can figure something out. I don't know what that is, ladies and gentlemen. But if 75% of these people, the swing state voters, say do something at our border first, you darn well better know there's something being manipulated behind the scenes. Over the past 2 years, this is crazy, since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the U.S. has allocated $113 billion in funding to Zelensky, averaging approximately, you want to know what your family's paying for it? $900 per American household. That's what your fair share is. I don't know if Hunter has paid his taxes yet. I don't think Joe has either, but you know. The Biden administration is seeking an additional $60 billion for Ukraine from U.S. taxpayers to sustain efforts in the Russia-Ukraine war. What efforts? To what end? Is there victory at hand? Do you see it anywhere along this dark, long tunnel? No! No! I don't know how your taxes left you guys feeling. I'm still a little sore. $900 per family. Add 60 more billion onto that. It's at least another 750. Why don't you just write that out of your checking account right now, friends? Seems like it'd be more expeditious and we don't have to wait so long to get where it's going into Zelensky's pocket. When we come back, I want you to hear some things. There is this crazy obsession, a love and a hate that a lot of us don't understand. But people are awakening. People like Stephen A. Smith. All right? This is sounds you've got to hear. The Great Awakening continues, my friends, next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. I was thinking this morning, and you're going to find it probably a strange analogy, but Donald Trump and Rush Limbaugh have some very similar characteristics. They're both adored and hated. They have bases of support. Trump with MAGA, of course. And Rush with MAGA, but with also the ditto heads, right? People who'd been with him forever. But both men have had this ability to infuriate and to, just by their own perseverance and success, own people who hate them. Hate is it's a very big word. And I say, you know, I hate everybody. And you feel that way sometimes. But I mean, if you think about it, who do you really hate? Somebody you've never met? Somebody you've not looked in the eye? Somebody you've not truly listened to? See, the people who like both men, there's something magic there. I don't think neither tried to be perfect. In fact, I think Rush Limbaugh was so successful because he made jokes of his own foibles. And he was endearing. And he told stories. And he made you feel as though, even though he might seem larger than life, he felt the same way you did about stuff. He loved the same way you loved. He was frustrated the same way you were. And when he died, and a part of a lot of us died too, people on the left celebrated. It's like we've gone somewhere that's really unhealthy. And it's ugly. And I don't like it. So too with Trump. Now, I've had the pleasure to meet the man. I enjoyed hearing his voice when he called this radio program. I had no idea that we would be talking to Donald Trump. But I wanted to ask him, and my first question was, what are you going to do about the January Sixers? There's nothing that's off limits. He doesn't need a script. He's got it inside. And it resonates with people. And it resonates with people from all walks of life. And the left is so terrified of that because they don't have it. They don't have the magic. It's magic. I remember waking up and I'd just been fired from my job. It was a really ugly public firing. I was called an international racist. And I knew the truth. It's deeply wounding. And I would go outside and I would listen to Rush's show. And I would be lying if I told you, if I didn't tell you, he got me through it. He got me through it. I remember when he talked about being addicted to painkillers. I remember all about his cochlear implants and his hearing loss and the things that he had to go through. I mean, can you imagine? Your job is on hearing and your speech. And you almost lose it. And you fight back. And you do it honestly and publicly. And then he got cancer. And then all of it, right? He kept getting back up. He kept getting back up. Trump keeps getting back up. He keeps getting back up. And for people who feel like their government keeps punching down and kicking them, and so obviously doesn't care, Trump getting back up means something. It means we can get back up. It means there's hope. And we need that. Donald Trump has exposed a very ugly, insidious, insecure, narcissistic, egocentric, frightened reality in a lot of people. And I think most of us would say any given day we could be any of those things. But it doesn't define who you are. It's not what you wake up and feel and do. There are a lot of people out there who are like that. And you're going to hear from some of them. Look, before we even get into this segment, I want to put up an overlay for you on the screen. So those of you who are watching on television or on the live stream, you can see this. And I'm going to read it to those of you who are listening. This is a letter from Michael Cohen's attorney. Okay? It's a letter dated 2018 to the SEC. And he's saying in this letter, I'm writing on behalf of my client, Michael Cohen. In response to your letter, January 20th, 2018, blah, 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 blah. In this letter, Michael Cohen's attorney is saying, Michael Cohen paid Stormy Daniels $130,000 of his money. It wasn't Donald Trump's money. It wasn't a payment that Donald Trump asked him to make. It wasn't a payment that Donald Trump knew he was going to make, had records of him making, and wanted to cover up. This was something that Michael Cohen hatched when he was sleeping with Stormy Daniels in 2006, he came up with this idea. And this letter from McDermott, Will, and Emery, the law firm representing Michael Cohen at the time in 2018, puts it on paper. Trump didn't make that payment. This case should not even be. Stop wasting our freaking time. Solve a damn problem. Instead of feeding a fictitious High School Musical narrative that people aren't buying. Stephen A. Smith singing a new tune now, talking about what's going on with the left. And the truth that, and this is a voice, a sports broadcaster guy who wades off into politics and has waded into the weeds of leftism and has assailed Donald Trump repeatedly, all of a sudden having kind of an epiphany. Are you seeing it now, Stephen? He's saying the left is terrified because they know they cannot beat him. Listen.
To my liberal friends out there, all you're doing is showing that you're scared you can't beat them on the issues and the merits. That's why he keeps saying it's a political campaign against me. That's why he keeps saying they can't beat me at the election. At the polls. This is the only way they could do it. And if you don't put him in jail and he still goes from being the presumptive GOP nominee to the official GOP nominee and he goes to the polls, even though he was going to whine about winning and being rigged again, you have given more fodder to that argument, which means we'll never have peace in this country because tens of millions of people see what extent the other side is willing to go through just to keep him out of office because they can't beat him on their own merits. And they're going to say, hey, you trumped this up against him again. And we'll have no peace when all you got to do is figure out a way to beat him on the issues. But you haven't been able to do it.
This is going on all over the country. Trevor Noah. You're going to hear from him later, the comedian. Who has made his living off of mocking Donald Trump. Says something very astute about the predicament we the people are in now globally. And the clear disrespect that Joe Biden receives from foreign leaders who don't respect this country anymore. That's how fast it's happened. Did you guys know in this ABC News story, only 1 in 3 U.S. adults think Donald Trump acted illegally in the New York hush money case? This is an AP poll. Well, why wouldn't ABC News say 2 out of 3 American adults don't think Trump broke the law? That's all you need to see. It's subtle. Sometimes it's in your face. Sometimes it's buried in the bylines. Sometimes it's the photograph that's selected purposely. Or it's the words that are taken out of context. It's his sound bites that are deceptively edited. It's Leslie Stahl refusing to admit she got played. No. No, Mr. President. This is 60 Minutes. We can't talk about... He has opened up every can of worms that they have so desperately wanted to keep on the shelf. And because they cannot help their jealousy over his success, over his revenge being pulling the United States out of a swirling toilet bowl, he's exposed all of it. And sometimes it's sad. I'm going to tell you, sometimes it is sad. And I'm going to play on the flip side of this break. I'm going to have Brock play the sound of Joe Scarborough, who embodies and is the mouth of total, unhinged jealousy and derangement. Because if MSNBC, CNN, New York Times, all of these outfits, if you're not seeing us and you're not with the program, you're not going to survive. Period. It is chilling. It is saddening. And it is what they are so afraid of. America winning. Now ask yourself, why would that be? Why? Quick time out when we come back. That sound, and by the way, a quick little hit from the crowd in Harlem, waiting eagerly, happily, anxiously, just to catch a glimpse of Donald Trump. The magic is real, friends. They know it. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. So Trump, like Rush, has this magic, you know? There's this thing, there's a bigger than life. There's a very wealthy, kind of austere coating. And what did Rush always call himself? An adorable little fuzzball. I mean, it's funny. It's so endearing. And there's that very endearing side, I believe, of Donald Trump. I've looked in the man's eyes. He cares, right? Joe Scarborough, totally unhinged. And Brock and I, on the regular, will send each other audio and say, okay, this guy wins. Triggered of the year, right? Derangement poster child of the year. And every time we outdo ourselves. Brock, this might be...
Yeah, we thought Lawrence O'Donnell yesterday And what did I send you? I said, I was wrong.
Yeah, I think we've got a new first placer, right? And it's Joe Scarborough. And it's unfortunate. But listen to the twisting in his mind, the gnashing of teeth upstairs, as I think everybody realizes that they're going to lose. And that Donald Trump will not just be vindicated. He's going to win. Listen.
So Donald Trump keeps talking about how America sucks. And before he got elected, America sucked. And then he got elected, suddenly America was great. Then he lost, and now America sucks again. You're voting for a guy like that? You live in the most powerful, greatest country on the face of the earth? And you're voting for a guy that tells you every day that America sucks? What's wrong with you? Who raised you? What history did you read?
That's it.
Like, where are you from? Because you may claim to be from where I'm from, but you were not raised by the same teachers I was raised by. And you don't read. Because if you read, Mike, the facts are clear. and I'm getting tired of saying this to people who claim to be patriotic but hate America because they're always running America down. They're always trashing America. They're always saying America's horrible. Its democracy doesn't work. We need a dictatorship if Donald Trump doesn't win. I'm tired of people running America down. And on Fox News, and I'll just say it, on Fox News, they didn't want to show Donald Trump in trial. So they got three protests and said protests shut down America, basically. This weekend, there were like four migrants and a hound dog on top of a hill in New Mexico. And they had their four migrants and a hound dog cam on for hours.
There's right now, I'm looking up the hill, and there are two, three, I see a coyote. That's a hound dog, Bob. Okay, a hound dog. I mean, this is a world. They give their viewers anything to try to make America look bad. They are obsessed on trashing America when America is stronger, more powerful than ever before. Its economy stronger and more powerful than ever before. So what do? They find a trans athlete in Utah. Our world's coming to an end. Help us, Jesus. The country ain't the country I was raised in. No, it's better. It's stronger. We're more powerful. Our military's more powerful.
Oh my
relative
gosh.
To the rest of the world. Our economy is stronger relative to the rest of the world. But you would never know this because they are fed a steady stream of hate America first rhetoric, which I suppose is why you have the chairman of the House GOP saying that some of those dupes backbenchers are actually clinging to pro-Russian propaganda and spreading it across their districts, across America, and across the House floor.
Wow. Now, I'm not even going to waste my time blowing apart how completely deranged and crazy that was. All of the people on the panel, all dudes sitting around him, Al Sharpton, the other guy, Willie, whatever his face is, they're sitting there literally uncomfortable. They have no idea what to do because Joe Scarborough is having a breakdown. And the breakdown's name is Donald Trump. It's wild. Meanwhile, this is the same network that told you Trump fell asleep. And CNN picked it up. Of course. Why would we find out if it actually happened? The story is so much better. Now, while this is going on, and a meltdown is ensuing on set at MSNBC, and the other panelists are literally stunned into silence, have no idea what to say about that, other than, do we need an intervention? This was the sound of the crowd waiting to see President Trump in Harlem after he had gone through that ridiculous jury selection. Listen to Harlem.
I love you, Trump!
I love you, Trump!
We love Trump! We love Trump!
I love you, Trump!
We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump!
Okay, I'm going to just describe to you the people in the audience. You have young black children, young Hispanic children, young white children. We love you, Trump! A similarly diverse older crowd of adults around them, all jammed around this bodega where a man's life was essentially taken from him because he defended himself from a thug. Now, Joe Scarborough can wax poetic all day long and lose his ever-loving mind and stay in that echo chamber. Or they can open the doors of the studio and venture outside and listen to what America is saying. Period. When we come back, let's talk about the jury. Let's talk about the people. These are Trump's peers. Are they? You decide. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.